This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We've been out on the road this year with a live show that we called How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Numbers, a celebration of sorts to mark the 25 years that we have been on the air. 1989, it turns out, was the beginning of a whole lot of things. Microsoft Word, which we talked about earlier in the show. Also, The Simpsons. December the 17th, 1989 was its premiere. And 554 episodes later, if you want to keep on thinking about the numbers, you might recognize our next guest by the Simpsons characters that he provides the voice for. Mo the Bartender, Chief Wiggum, Apu, to name just a couple. And I'll tell you what, this doesn't happen much, but when I brought Hank Azaria out onto the stage of the 92nd Street Y, people in the audience actually screamed. Well, it was one lady, and she said, "Oh my God!" So here you go. Oh, my God. It's you.
Was the oh, my God for Mo?
For Mo.
That's all I want to know.
Do you know, I'm sure you do, how, the number of characters you've done on The Simpsons?
No, I don't know exactly. I know that the key number really is around 30. Those are the ones that will come up consistently and be on any given episode. But over the years, if you count characters who've appeared once or done a few lines, way over 100.
You decided it not too long, well, a while ago, actually, you couldn't do anymore, right? You were basically done with the new characters?
I didn't decide it. I just got tapped out. Yeah, like, for the first 10 or 15 years of the show, any new character, I had a new voice ready, and then I noticed a few years ago, I don't have any more.
You got nothing left?
No, I don't have anything new I created sounded too similar to something I've already done.
When did you realize that this ability you had was a marketable skill? Was a thing you could make money on?
Make money on? Not until close to when I actually started doing The Simpsons. I grew up imitating everything and mimicking everything I heard on TV and everywhere. And sort of separately from that, got interested in acting at age 16. I was sort of a class clown. And then it wasn't even until I was about 5 years into studying acting that I realized, wait a minute, I can actually use that mimicry and silly sense of humor and doing voices in my work. It didn't occur to me.
And do I have it right that you went in and you read for some character on The Simpsons and they said, yeah, you're hired. Come on over. Can you do this now for the show this afternoon?
Yeah. The first character I read for was Mo, the bartender. I was doing a play in L.A. at the time where I was playing a drug dealer and I was doing a bad impression of Al Pacino from Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Al was a lot higher then, you know, his vocal register. I'm dying here. Everybody's coming down on me. And I did that, and they said, well, he needs to be gravelly. Can you make the voice gravelly? So if you take Al Pacino from Dog Day Afternoon and you add gravel, you get Mo. They were unamused, but they're like, no, sounds fine. Come, come record it.
You are in a business that is almost entirely dependent on numbers, right? Both the financing of it, which we were talking about backstage, but also the ratings, right? I mean, you were in a series on Showtime, Huff, a long time ago now, actually, which lasted 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. But those are numbers you don't have a whole lot of control over. How do you learn to stop worrying about that?
That takes a long time. It only happened about 20 minutes ago for me. But if you're lucky enough to have a long career, I think just with age you realize that, well, there were 20 times in my life I flipped out in fear. There were 20 times I was sure I had it made. None of those worked out the way I thought. So a career does that, you realize, and you might as well just take it easy because, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
You did commercial voiceover work for a while, too.
For a little while.
A little while, and then in the end it kind of didn't work out.
I didn't enjoy it, no.
Yeah.
The last audition I had for a commercial, Jell-O was doing a campaign. They wanted the voice of Jell-O Man, which was a computer animated Jell-O that lived in your refrigerator. And you'd open the door and he would monologue at you. And I figured, well, he's a vagrant, so I did a voice like this, like, how you doing? I'm Jell-O Man, how are you? And I did the, as a long monologue, and the casting director gave me a long lot of notes. Like, well, she said, you know, we want Jell-O Man to have an edge, but that's a big catchphrase, is an edge. But they have to be likable. That's the other catchphrase. But we don't want him to frighten the children. I swear to God, that's what she said to me. As she was talking, I realized this is, I'm never going to audition for another commercial again, and this is my last one, and I'm going to go out with a bang. And I really did. And she finished talking, and I said, you do realize Jell-O Man's not real, don't you? And I left, and that was it. And I never went back into another commercial room. That was it for me.
That's a good one.
I promised myself I wasn't going to do this, but now that I have you here, I'm going to. I need you to do Mo saying, but first, let's do the numbers.
That's a weird request, but...
I know.
But first, let's do the numbers.
Hank Azaria, ladies and gentlemen. We are on stage again for the last time this year. Anyway, this coming weekend, right here in L.A., Saturday night, Amy Poehler, Norman Lear, Gwen Shotwell. She is the president of SpaceX, and Franklin Leonard, he's the guy who founded the Blacklist. Get your tickets while you still can. They're going fast. It's marketplace.org.